Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here live on Wednesday, February 28th of 2024. I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Midland, Michigan, where I live. And I did want to mention, you know, tomorrow is leap day. But guess what? Doggone it, just like last time, don't get to do an episode live on leap day. Oh, maybe 2028. We'll see. Hopefully in 2028. But for this year, oh, I know, no episode on leap day. Sad, isn't it?
So sad.
I know. You know, it is what it is. You know. And I had heard a little joke somewhere about these leap years when we have a leap day. I had heard jokingly that the reason there's an extra day is so that the president is so that, you know, here in America, our election years are leap years. It's just the way it works. But the way it works, you see, is that our election years are always leap years. So the joke is that extra day is so that the candidates have an extra day to campaign. I think it's funny. Apparently no one else does. Do you think it's funny?
I do.
Yeah. you know, to campaign and try to get every last vote they can get, try to get every last little, you know, endorsement they can get. You know, whatever. And it, especially if it's a year where there's no incumbent because a president has served the two maximum terms, then in those years, I feel like it can get extra ugly. You agree?
I definitely agree.
Yeah, like 2016 was fascinating but ugly at the same time, honestly. Now I don't take all... Now, generally, I don't take my episodes and make them political. I don't do that. I mean, there's political shows that'll do that for you. You know, you can go listen to Sean Hannity. You can go listen to Mark Levin. You can go listen to, you know, who I... And I do agree with Mark Levin, by the way, like, really wholeheartedly. Obviously, you know, we're humans, so we might have little differences and things, but generally... On commonality things, I would say me and him would see eye to eye. You've heard of Mark Levin, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I would argue, you know, true patriot. And you know, and things like that. I like listening to the Nightcap, too, on 700 WLW out of Cincinnati. Have you listened to that channel? You've listened to that channel some when you were truck driving, haven't you?
I think I have.
And you remember hearing, like, that they've had, like, that they had some good hosts on there, haven't you?
Yes, definitely.
You're like, you've heard of Bill Cunningham, the Great American, with you every Sunday night, right?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, and he, like he's awesome. He's another one that I see eye to eye with. And, you know, but, you know, there's people like that you can listen to. Like, if you want to hear someone talk politics with you all the time and what's going on and all that, you know, those are good sources to look at. I trust Bill Cunningham more than I trust, you know, ABC's of fake news, MSNBC. Some people like to say MSDNC, Mark Levin does, but, you know, or, you know, CBS, which is actually, you know, which is actually, you know, constant horse that like they can almost, you know, so like they, there's fake news. And then, then there is, ABC, I like to say ABC is a fake news. CNN, I like to say Communist News Network.
Oh my goodness.
Or constant negative news. I like the former better. Communist News Network. All these networks that I mentioned, that's what they are. That's what they really are. You just say, really? Yep. And, there's good people, like I mentioned, Mark Levin, Glenn Beck even, to a degree, and others. Like the different people I like from 700 WLW, which you can hear generally at night, especially if you happen to be down in Ohio, Kentucky. I get it in a lot on most evenings. Here where I live, up 5.5 hours north of Cincinnati, that station has a very powerful frequency. You understood the same thing too, right?
I think so, yeah.
That 700 WLW has an extremely powerful frequency. And not so much in Ann Arbor to the same degree, but I imagine once you get down into Monroe, Dundee, I imagine once you get down to Dundee, it becomes one of those stations that you can get on the regular 24/7, like WWJ.
Okay.
Like, by WWJ, I mean, WWJ or Detroit.
Right.
Because once you get to there, you're to a place, like, where you're, only 180 miles or so away from Cincinnati. You're getting into a closer range. So it'd be where you'd, certainly Toledo you would.
Certainly.
Yep. Yep, there you would. It'd be similar to WWJ, if not similar to what WWJ is up here, I would say. Close to it, at least. But needless to say, I like them. Even though I'm more of a Tigers fan than a Reds fan, I'm from here and I like the Tigers. And I'm getting excited for the Tigers. I've heard some good things about the team this year. You have too, right?
I have not heard much.
But yeah, I've heard some good. But I've heard they have chances to be a good team. They've got a lot of young players. If they do, sometimes there can be hype about it when it's a super young team, and sometimes it just doesn't necessarily sometimes it just doesn't materialize, and sometimes it can almost be like there's so much inexperience, that no one really knows how to be the leader. I hope that's not the case this time. I hope we got leaders in that dugout, in that locker room, even right now in Lakeland as they're doing spring training. Because I'm just a little over a month, and a March, start of April, the boys, men of summer, will be back in town, as they say, the boys of summer. In sports, they'd call football players the boys of fall. But that season just wrapped up with the Super Bowl a few weeks ago. So now looking forward to baseball. And so hopefully they can be a good team, because I enjoy talking about them when they're good. It's better for me to talk about sports when my teams are winning. It really is. Now, football I love and I do it all the time, but anything else, in particular, it's always better to talk about sports when the teams are winning. It's funner. When they're losing, I'm not one that likes to dwell on the negative. I don't. Right? I just don't like dwelling, and talking about the negative. as much. So hopefully we got more. Tigers can be winning, even winning playoff games, hopefully. Because let me tell you, it was great for the whole Michigan sports scene when the Lions won both of those playoff games that they won. Detroit had not, nobody in Detroit had won a national playoff game since like 2013. I'm serious. Isn't that just crazy?
It really is.
That nobody had. Nobody. Just like at Michigan, but this is the good nobody. Who's got it better than us? Nobody. Remember that clip?
Yeah.
So who's got it better than no? I love that clip because right this second, nobody's got it better than us. Really, they don't. And I was proud of what Michigan did. I really was. And the Lions. Hopefully the Tigers can continue forward in that, you know, and keep the momentum going. We'll wait and see, you know, once the regular season gets going, because guess what? Preseason doesn't count when it comes to your regular season and playoffs. Preseason doesn't count as much. That's why it's not judged as much. Although people will listen to it, you know, and watch it and look for signs. And there can be signs in the preseason that can be good or bad. Now, in 2008, you may or may not recall from the Lions. In 2008, that Lions team, that will be remembered as the team that went 0-16, the first NFL team to go 0-16. Well, guess what that team did in the preseason? They were undefeated in the preseason. But then somewhere they did something, and then they lost all 16 of the regular season games. Like, when you start the preseason 4-0, you think, oh, there's so much promise. Oh, yay, we win. And we're thinking, yes, this is going to be the year. Woo! But then, you go to the – and then, but then every game. What's that represent? The Sundays that you thought would be your Sunday that you would win a game. And at the end, wrong, you lost them all. But then there'll be good teams who will struggle in the preseason. You've heard of that too, of course.
Of course.
And they'll be like, this is giving, and it can be, and like, this is giving off some really bad signs. I don't like it. But then in the regular season, you know, they come back to what they had been. And you can best tell based on how they do in their dress rehearsal game. By dress rehearsal, meaning like it'll generally look like what it would on for a regular game. That's why in the NFL they will call those dress rehearsal games, you know. Does that make sense why they're called dress rehearsal?
Mm-hmm.
Where those other games, it'll often be a lot of people that won't necessarily be starters. Which is also why they're called exhibition, as an exhibit of how it could look under these scenarios. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why the preseason can be skewed differently. That's why as fans, most of us don't give as much thought to how did the team do in the preseason. Even in spring training with baseball, I don't think most of us do. We might listen to, you know, for something fun to listen to or watch, but generally, that doesn't give a lot of weight to how the regular season will go, does it? It doesn't.
It doesn't, no.
Especially if they do a split squad, which teams do that. The split squad, one squad will be, you know, we'll say maybe in Lakeland taking on one team. Another squad maybe, you know, elsewhere in Florida or something. Doing spring training on a game. And then the next day it might be that, okay, the whole squad's together back in Lakeland. Like the regular squad. And And there might be some different guys in the rotation because they'll be trying different things, trying to see what'll work. And so, but anyhow, it's just, you know, makes it interesting. But, so, about the leap thing, because some people, I can see where people are fascinated by this. So, one time, I was, last leap year, 2020, I was coming back home from down in the Detroit area. We were coming back from Detroit area, you know, Greenwich Crossing. We stopped to a Wendy's, you know, to get use the bathroom and get a Frosty. And so what happened, let me tell you what happened. What happened was, so we go in there, you know, and I ask one of the workers. Now, they're not busy, so obviously they didn't mind if I asked a question. So I asked her, ma'am, do you know anybody who was born on leap day? Because I was just curious, you know, if she knew someone that was born on leap day. And she says, well, yeah. As a matter of fact, I do, my so-and-so or whatever. I forgot exactly what she said, but she said she knew someone that was born on leap day. And I said, when were they born? And they told me, I believe they said 2000 or something. And so we kind of had fun, and I was like, okay. And I didn't tell her this, but I was thinking, like, well, she'd probably be 5 years old in that case because, but about the leap day thing, technically, if you are born on leap day, generally your legal birthday will actually be March 1st. March 1st. So that means if you were born in, let me just think here. If you were born in 2008, yeah, 2008, we'll say, for example. You will officially turn 16 tomorrow, but your 18th birthday, rather than being, you know, February 28th of 2026, it would be March 1st, 2026, because 2026 is not a leap year, because leap years are every 4 years, 4, 4, 4, 4. 16. So when you think about it, it is kind of a fascinating thing. The leap year is, isn't it?
Yes.
It really is. Really. Do you know of anybody who has the designation of being born on leap day?
I do not personally know anybody.
Okay. Neither do I, as far as an actual person. All I know of is just what that person, when we stopped to that Wendy's, one off of 75. Yeah, I believe it was Clio. Yeah, Clio. And it was just before, you know, a few weeks before COVID hit. But COVID was, of course, beside the point because I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about, you know, the day and what we did in that, it was a Saturday, so, you know, but anyhow, I want to remind you of a couple of things coming up. I want to remind you, the next week is the Holy Spirit Conference at Living Word Church. It is a conference that is designed to let the Holy Spirit do whatever he wants to do. Ultimately, the Holy Spirit is in charge of it. I mean, yes, worship is still first and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's a time to let the Holy Spirit do whatever he wants to do. In a regular service, if you go to, you know, your local church, hopefully you're in a good local church. In a regular church service, you know, your pastor has to shepherd you. He is required, you know, by the word, to feed you, to shepherd you. And so you can't necessarily just have the Holy Ghost, a Holy Ghost blowout every service. Now, those can be cool. You know, you know, it's cool. It's awesome. The Bible's awesome. You know, and it's, great. You know, anointing is awesome. We want the anointing in every service. Oh, yeah. The stronger, the better. Amen. Holy Ghost and fire all the way. Yeah, that's me totally. But in the midst of all that, you know, a pastor has to teach you. He has to lead you. He has to preach. You know? But at the Holy Spirit conference, it is a sign, it is a time to let the Holy Ghost do whatever he wants to do. It's at 2010 North Stark Road, Midland, Michigan. Go online to marktbarclay.com to find out marktbarclay.com to find out information. Amen. That being said, there will be no show Tuesday or Wednesday. Don't plan on a show Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. Other thing I want to remind you about is Comic-Con is here in Midland where I live Saturday and Sunday. Saturday it's 10 to 6, Sunday 10 to 5 at Midland Mall. Go online to Facebook and look for Midland Mall Comic-Con to find out more information about it. There is great stuff planned, food trucks, comics. You know, you can buy comics. There'll be Dungeons and Dragons there. I don't understand what Dungeons and Dragons even is. I don't play it. I just know it's there. Find out for yourself what it is. You go there, you know, find out for yourself what it is. There'll be gaming tournaments like Mario Kart and other games, all kinds of art you can buy, you know, different kinds of accessories, you know, for that kind of stuff, you know. You say, what do you like about people watching, of course. And I have a Snoopy outfit that I'm going to wear. I've talked to the guy who puts it on multiple times. He's a very nice guy. He really is. Former veteran. I mean, he is a veteran, excuse me. But I would say, you know, thank God for the U.S. military. Thank God for the U.S. military. Well, thank God for those who have sacrificed so that we don't have to give up all we love here in the United States. And they've been able to keep the war off our shores. Amen.
Amen.
We've been able to keep the war off our shores, you know, because it's hard to be able to, you know, continue to for the civilization to be able to continue, you know, safely if you have war going on your streets. Imagine if it was if our wars were being fought here on our soil, it'd be so difficult to go, like, do daily things, like even go to the store, go to work, not knowing, you know, the enemy could decide to target, you know, and fly their airplane and then crash it. So I just thank God that the wars have been kept off our shores for a very long time. I pray that will continue to be the case so that we may remain free. So I thank God for our police. I thank God for our military. And for those who, I call them blessed in the name of Jesus, for those who go or who are in harm's way all the time to keep us safe. And so I thank God for that. But so I also want to remind you about the two things that I mentioned to you, or try to, every episode. If that's a motorcycle, it's way too cold for that. you know that you're way too cold for that. You better be wearing a coat. I'm just someone, you know, who's like, I thought it was rough today. The wind, we were 70 degrees today. We were 70 degrees yesterday. 72, in fact, 73. Today, for the afternoon portion of it, we were falling through the 20s. Falling through the 20s through the afternoon. With winds that gusted up to 40 miles an hour. And what do you get with that? Wind chills that I didn't even look to see what the wind chills were. Wouldn't want to think about them. You wouldn't either, would you?
No.
There'd be numbers that would be, what? You know, they'd be like, so it feels like the temperature might have dropped by a good 60 degrees. Which, in my mind, is incredible. But guess what? Warmth is coming back. Sunday, that was originally supposed to be, you know, a couple days ago, two, 3 days ago, was supposed to be around 60, you know. As of Sunday, this coming Sunday was to be around 60 degrees. As of today's 4 o'clock forecast release, generally at the National Weather Service, they will release forecasts. The new forecast will be released generally at 4 a.m. and 4 p.m. every day. You remember hearing, you've heard that before, right? That's generally when they're released.
Uh-huh.
And I've noticed that on my WeatherBug app that's when they're released.
Right.
And but generally at 4 a.m. and 4 p.m. each day, those are released. And as of the most recent one, 4 p.m. today, for Sunday, it says upper 60s. Who knows? That could possibly go up again to 70. Would you be surprised if it didn't, or no?
No, I wouldn't be surprised.
And depending on the sunniness, you wouldn't be surprised if we actually reached it.
Right.
Which I have a special, the Miracle Man has a special nickname that I've been thinking of since 2012 when we had a lot of days that hit one over 70 degrees in March, like 10 in a row. And these days that go to 70 or higher in March, I like to call them billboard days.
Oh, that's a good term.
I could not use them in a place like Chattanooga unless it was for like very early March, I feel like. But for March in general, I couldn't. Because once you get into late March, your average daytime high is to be like 65, 66, which means you can kind of easily on some sunny days hit that 70, you know. You can hit it.
Right.
And once you get into April, mid-April or so, I would say, those 70-degree days are to be expected down there. For up here, that's like mid-May. And in October, the 70-degree days basically just about go to Halloween.
That's true.
Yep, so basically it's 180 days of 70-degree weather, and I don't even want to end it. You know, it is. There's something cool about that that I love. You know, it's like 104 days of summer vacation, but instead it's 180 days of 70-degree weather. I like that. I really do. But anyhow. So I wouldn't be surprised if we had it Sunday. And then I also wouldn't be surprised if there was an additional one at some point later, because once you get to Sunday, that's only March 3rd. It would be weird if we only had 70 on March 3rd and then not again the rest of the month. Because I was looking today at some, earliest, of certain temperatures like 70, 71, 72, and 73. And around here, a lot of those were like, March 3rd, then like March 7th. But obviously, once you get into late March, for late March, all of your records, your record highs will generally be 70s and 80s, which makes sense. Like a lot of 70s for your record highs around here. But I think there'll be a couple of other, at least one other one. But yeah, it's pretty cool. But now I'm going to get into the real meat of that. I want to remind you about the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how great God has been. It's a book that when you read it, I pray that in the name of Jesus, it will increase your faith. Amen. I want your faith to be increased. I do. It takes faith to live today. It takes faith. You need to have faith. You can't please God without faith. You can't. Try it. It won't work. If you really want to make God happy, you need faith. You need it. It's important. So you can go online to riversofmiracles.com, R-I-V-E-R-S of miracles.com, to find out information about the book Rivers of Miracles and how it can be a blessing to your life. Amen. And thank God for everyone who's read it. For those who have read the book and have chosen to, give the book to others. Been a great thing. Awesome. That book's been circulating. I'm believing it's going to circulate a whole lot more in the name of Jesus. And that can be, and that'll be proof. He is still in the miracle working business. He is still in the miracle working business today. Just like what he was in the Bible, he's still doing it today. He is still doing it today. And I'm here to tell you, whatever that miracle is that you're believing for, get ready to receive it. Get ready to receive it. Expect that miracle in your life. Expect it. Sometimes we hear, in this day and age, we hear things like, well, lower your expectations. I say that the opposite. When you're believing for God to do something, don't lower your expectations. Raise those, babe. Raise that stuff. Raise your expectations. Expect that miracle. Don't just go, well, maybe if it does, maybe if it does. No. You say, I believe it is done in the name of Jesus. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm making myself happy. I'm preaching myself happy. I pray I'm helping you. I really do. But where's my water? Sorry about that. Just making sure I have my little supply. There. So avail yourself to that book. Let it be a blessing to your life, please. The other thing I want to remind you about is about the PayPal. And you can go online to paypal.com in order to sow your seed into the Miracle Man program. And you can be a blessing like some people have. You know, I know of someone here in the central Michigan area who has sown seed into the Miracle Man program. Also, someone who listens in Honduras on a regular basis. Here's the word, you know, and sows their seeds into this program. They've been helped by the program. And thanks for those seeds. And for anyone else who has sown, and for everyone else who has sown, I thank the Lord for your seeds. And I always thank God for your seeds. I always do. I don't allow myself to take that kind of stuff for granted. I don't. I try to be grateful. I really do. And I thank God for your seeds. They help keep this going. And you see, when you sow into the Miracle Man program, you are sowing into fertile ground. You're not sowing into this ground that's like where you know, where the seed gets choked or the birds eat it. Or like any of that kind of stuff. No. You are sowing seed into very good ground when you sow into this program. I really believe it. And the verse I want to sow into your life tonight says, therefore, God is able to make all things abound toward you through two good works. Oh, I'm sorry. Three good works. No. Try that again. Therefore, my God is able to make all things abound toward you through every good work. Amen and amen.
Amen.
You can sow your seeds on that. And the principle, when I think of a good principle, I give you a verse and I want to give you a principle. The principle that I want you to keep in mind as you sow your seed tonight is, therefore, God looks on the heart. He looks at the heart much more than what he looks at the dollar amount. If you have, let's say, $20 and you give $5, we'll say the other person has $100 to give and he gives $20. I just kind of came up with numbers. What you'll see is even though it's kind of, well, he looks higher on the one who gave the $5 out of his $20 compared to the one who gave $20 out of the $100. Why? Percent. That's why. So you see, God looks on the heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So it's just good to be thinking about that kind of stuff when you sow seed. Amen. And so go online to PayPal. In the search bar, you type in Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. Last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Keep in mind, there's a space between Rivers and Shukla. What were you trying to tell me? And then there's a space between Rivers and Shukla. So please make a note of that. And then the first down Rivers and then the S in Shukla, both of those are capitalized. And so thank God for your seed. God bless you as you give. I'm going to sing a couple songs, and then we're going to get into the word of the Lord for tonight. I want to get into, you know, and so. God, I'm on my knees again. God, I'm big and pleased again. I need you. God, I need you. Walking down these desert roads, water for my thirsty soul, I need you. Oh, I need you. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. It's like the sound of a symphony to my ears. Yeah, it's like holy water on my skin. Yeah, yeah. Oh, dead man walking, slave to sin. I want to know about being born again. I need you. God, I need you. So take me to the riverside. Take me under, baptize. I need you. God, I need you. Yeah. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. It's like a sound of a symphony to my ears. It's like holy water on my skin. Oh, I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need you every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. Of a symphony to my ears. It's like holy water. Yes, it is. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. It's like a sound of a symphony to my ears. Like holy water on my skin. It's like holy water on my skin. It's like holy water. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, that you are for your forgiveness. Higher than the mountains that I face, constant in the trials and the change. Stronger in the trial and the change. One thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love, oh, and on and on and on and on it goes, and it overwhelms and satisfies my soul.
and I'll never, ever have to be afraid. This one thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. In death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. My debt is paid. There is nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love, oh, and on and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul, and I'll never ever have to be afraid. This one thing remains, this one thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. On and on, in death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. My debt paid, there's nothing that can separate my heart of your, from your great love. Your love never fails and never gives, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives, never runs out on me. Your love. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath, oh, in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Oh, there is none like you. You give life, you are love, We bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh. Oh. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Thank you, Lord, you are here with us. Thank you, Lord, you are here with us. You are always here with us. You're making a way when it seems like there is no way. I speak peace to these storms. I speak peace to these storms that try to wage against us. Thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on us, that you are with us. You're making a way when it seems like there's no way. It's your breath in our lungs, Jesus. It's through you that we live and move and breathe. And we thank you for what it is that you're doing in for each one of us. You know what we have need of. Thank you that you're meeting these needs for us. Thank you that you meet the need of every listener in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, what you've already done, for what you're going to do. And I just know that you are with us. You're making a way. And now I thank you, Lord God, that you use me to deliver the word and that these listeners will have ears ready to hear and minds that will be receptive. And now
I make my confession. I thank you, Lord God, that finances come to this program, that sponsors and partners come into this program, that more and more listeners tune into this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you believe it?
I believe it.
Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to turn with me in your Bible, please, to the book of Daniel chapter 2. I'm going to begin with verse 1.
I'm a millennial tonight, and I have my app.
Okay. I'm a millennial too, but I always, you know, bring it to you from the word. I don't let AI do my sermons, listeners. Some people, my dad told me about, he heard about this church. I didn't say he only heard about it, where this pastor, believe it or not, you're not going to believe what this pastor did. He used AI to do his sermon because he hadn't read his Bible in 6 months.
What?
He hadn't read his Bible in 6 months, so he let AI do his sermon.
Ay.
I feel like, ay. I know, right? There's a thing, there's a place in the Bible called AI. There is.
What?
A city in the Bible called AI. So that's the name of the city.
AI?
Yes, that's literally the name. AI. It's spelled AI. That's what it's spelled as. All right. Daniel 2, verse 1. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled, and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, instant enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, I've had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means. Then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it. The king replied to the astrologers, this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me. Once more they replied, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will interpret it. Then the king answered, I am certain that you are trying to gain time because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is just one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping that the situation will change. So then tell me that dream. I will know that you can interpret it for me. The astrologers answered the king, there is not a man on earth who can do what the king asked. No king, however, great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, little g, and they do not live among men. This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise man to death, and then we're set to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to us with wisdom intact. And he asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, praise be to the name of God, that forever and ever wisdom and power are high. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power, and have made known to men what we ask of you, and have made known to us the dream of the king. Now, this is where he interprets. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king. I will interpret his dream for him. Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, I found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means. The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, I have a question. Why would someone name someone whose real name is Daniel for anything to do with a belt?
Good question.
But we won't call him Belteshazzar. It's Daniel. It's not belt. Sir, Daniel, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery that he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the vision that passed through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. As you were lying there, okay, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me. And because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O King, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. You looked, O King, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold. Its chest and arms, silver. Its belly, various of bronze. Its legs, iron. Its feet, partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet with iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like staff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace, but the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. You, O King, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands, he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, they live. He has made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold. After you, another kingdom will rise inferior to yours next. A third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron. As iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, it will crush you, break all the others. Crush and break all the others. Just as you saw, the feet and toes were partly baked clay and partly with iron. That you will be like a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so we will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixed with clay. In the time of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all these kingdoms and will bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out with the mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God, Big G, has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering, an incense, be presented to him. And the king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries. Are you able to reveal this mystery?" Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and vanished many gifts on him. And he made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. So, you see here, so the king was like concerned, you know, he didn't know what to think, you know, about that vision, and he's like, I'll try the astrologers, I'll try the enchanters, I'll try the, you know, and all the, and all the astrologers say, you know, basically, like, we can't tell you. Every astrologer said that. All of them. So he feels defeated. And he's like, no. And so he's like, he basically wanted all those other people dead because they wouldn't give him what he wanted. So then someone else says, you know, there's Daniel. Daniel told the truth. Daniel explained the vision. What you see in the vision, basically, to summarize it, to paraphrase it for time, basically what we saw in that is that basically he said there will be kingdoms, different kingdoms from time to time. There'll be this kingdom, then there'll be the second kingdom, the third kingdom, the fourth kingdom. You know, but each one of these will pass. You know, over time, all these different kingdoms will pass. One falls, another rises. Then sometime later, that one falls, another one rises. Then sometime later, that one falls, another one rises. You know, and then the different kings, you know, from time to time, one king dies, and another, or whatever, and then the next king comes in. But then he said, this kingdom, my kingdom, never ends. And essentially, that was the vision that he had. But you see, we had that vision, you know. After he had that vision, you know, for a few days he couldn't sleep. He wasn't sure why, and he's like, I had this dream. But he wanted the astrologers to interpret it. The astrologers. But the astrologers, these fortune tellers, these psychics, people will trust them thinking they have all the answers. Guess what? If there's a psychic that knows your name, guess what? They're still not God. God is the God that knows everything, not a psychic. Well, maybe I'll go get me, go to one of them palm readers or whatever. I don't know a whole lot about those things. You know, I mean, I know they're not good, but I know not to trust any of that stuff. Haven't you heard like that stuff? Do not trust in that stuff. Trust in God.
I have heard that. Yes.
Yep. Yep. Don't trust in all that different stuff. Don't trust in all those magicians. Don't trust in all that different stuff. Don't trust the witches. Don't trust these other things. There's witch doctors in these countries. There's people that claim they got healed, but that it was by these witch doctors. Don't believe that stuff. The true God is the God that has the power. It's God that has the power.
Amen.
God helped Daniel interpret that dream. Because you see, all those astrologers, all those enchanters, all those magicians, all those people and Nebuchadnezzar thought, well, I can ask this one. Well, I can ask that one. Maybe I can ask this other one. No, none of them could help him. They couldn't help him. So, like, you find out yourself, and he's like, well, these gods aren't living among us. Little G, and he's like, no, like, you know. But they're like, we don't know. We can't tell you. You dreamed it. And basically he's like, how does that help me? Yeah, people will turn, you know, to other people times to look for answers as to what's to come. They'll look to the prophets of the land known as the news or other things, as opposed to the prophets of God. Or they'll listen to these other people instead of listening to their pastor. Furthermore, you need to find yourself in a church and have a good pastor to listen to. And then guess what? Listen to your pastor. If you're going to go in there in the first place, listen to your pastor. That pastor that God gave you. Listen to them. And my pastor is also a prophet. I hear him preach. God shows him stuff. Yes, he does. And I trust in the Word of God. Ultimately, we need to trust in God for answers, because God has the answers. If we had a dream like that, if I had a dream like that, I'd ask God. I'd ask someone who loved God and not to interpret it. I wouldn't look to no astrologer, palm reader, psychic, or voodoo, or any of that crazy stuff. This kind of stuff has went rampant for a long time. We don't have to trust in all that other stuff. Trust in horses, chariots, or even that more wicked stuff that I mentioned. Trust God. Don't trust all that other stuff. You know? And you'll be surprised what God will show you, what God can show you. You will, if you let him show you stuff. And you ask him to show you stuff, he'll show you stuff. He'll show you what's to come. if you let him. And, you know, then Daniel got appointed to a higher position as leader of Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar had to learn and realize there's only one God. And the Endo even mentioned how there was the gold, the silver, the bronze, and the iron, and the other things were broken, and all the all those different, you know, all those different visual parts of it, and what happened with this thing, what happened with that thing, and this happens, and that happens, and that happens, and this happened, and all those things. And it was, you know, in such great eloquent detail. And obviously God showed him that stuff. I mean, to Daniel. And Daniel interpreted the dream for him, for King Nebuchadnezzar. Heavenly Father, I thank you that when we go through things, when we, if we have a dream or we have something, you know, whatever it may be, may we trust you. May we trust you and look to you for answers, and not look so much, you know, to the prophets of the land. Certainly not look to things like voodoo, astrologers, and other things that as Christians we should know better, but to look to you to help us, because you are our help. You are our God. You're the ever-present help in time of need. You're the shelter. You're our strong tower. You're our deliverer. And I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in each and every one of us. Thank you that we would be those who do your word and trust you, and not decide to trust in other stuff and just be those who heard your word, but decide to not do it and trust in other stuff. And I thank you for that. I speak Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I thank you that as we go into the rest of this week and the weekend, that we would prosper and be in health. I speak a Psalm 1 rest of the week over each and every one of us. Speak a Psalm 91 week, rest of the week, for each and every one of us. I say that no evil shall befall us, no plague shall come nigh our dwelling, because you, Lord Jesus, have put your angels round about us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer, no terrorist, no suicide, no fire, no flood, no crash, no sickness, no disease. None of this evil stuff is going to come near us. We're going to live in great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. I sure love you. And until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.